Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, December 10th, 2015. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. And how are you, Dave?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thanks for having me, man.
It's great to have you here, as always. And John Martellaro, it's awesome to have you here as well.
It's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's also cool that our sponsor this week is Drobo, the company that makes the cool and easy-to-use RAID systems for your computers. Totally great that they are doing that. Thank you. And I thought that maybe today we could start off with Walmart. And the reason I wanted to go there is because Walmart just announced that they are introducing a new mobile payment system called Walmart Pay. And Walmart Pay is a thing where you need to download an app to your iPhone or Android phone, and then you can link it up with your credit cards. And then when you go to pay for whatever it is that you're buying at Walmart, then you pull out the app, you log in, and you scan a code that shows up on the Walmart screen or the cashier screen, and then it completes the transaction for you. So this sounds familiar, Jeff. I know. It's like you've read my mind. It sounds so much like CurrentC, except that CurrentC doesn't let you use credit cards. It has to link directly to your bank account. But other than that, it sure sounds a lot like CurrentC.
Okay, so they're using credit cards, which means they're paying credit card fees to the providers and merchant services and, you know, all of those things that previously exist or currently
yes.
exist.
Yep. Yes.
What's the why?
Because currency was going nowhere, requiring to come out of your bank account.
No, so. I know currency was going nowhere, but why would Walmart do this?
Because it's not Apple Pay or Android Pay. That's my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's agnostic in that it's proprietary.
How many of these pay things do we need?
All of them, John.
Oh yeah. I keep waiting for John Deere Pay and Toys R Us Pay.
It's US amazing. Postal Service Pay.
Yeah, it's just too many of everything.
It is. Well, we need one, but we will never get just one.
That's true.
You know, and we have this, right? You know, if I go to Dunkin' Donuts, right, I can't use Apple Pay there, but I can use Apple Pay in the app to add things to it, I think. Certainly that's the way Starbucks works. I'm not a coffee drinker. I have no idea why I picked those as my examples, because I have really no functional knowledge of this. But I think my assessments were correct, right? It's like, you know, they have their apps, so we've already got, you know, Starbucks Pay and Dunkin' Donuts Pay.
Well, Starbucks Pay is a little different because that's you load your rewards card and
right.
then you pay from that.
And that's what you do at Dunkin' Donuts too. I think.
And since I don't drink coffee or eat donuts because dairy, I have no idea about Dunkin' Donuts, but I get my chai at Starbucks all the time. You can reload your Starbucks card with Apple Pay and what I've heard is that sometime in the next few months, you'll be able to just make a non-rewards card payment with Apple Pay right in the stores too. So that's
okay.
coming.
Oh, that's cool. Good.
Yeah.
I think what will happen is that people will become frustrated and confused by all these different mechanisms. And so they'll pick one or two that they know how to use and they like. And then they'll favor those merchants that take the one or two that they like. And so the proportion of the different pay systems will boil down to the proportion of the popularity of each major brand. And then the company that says the biggest and best brand will be the winner in the end.
Or, you know, I came up with an idea for a universal pay system, John.
Do tell.
It's this plastic card that you have and you put it in your wallet and it says MasterCard, Visa, American Express, or Discover on
it. There you go. Accept it everywhere.
Yeah. How much trouble am I going to go through to do this?
Well, I have seen some articles that talk about how Apple Pay is having trouble getting traction, that too small a percentage of people who are able to use Apple Pay are using it, and a vast majority are not. And I'm not sure about that data, but maybe
I forget to use it. Although I tried yesterday. Yeah. I went to Bauer. Bauer is a hockey brand. They make they make all kinds of stuff. My son's a hockey player, and they've just opened two new stores. They got one in just outside of Boston, and one I think in I want to say Wisconsin. It doesn't matter. Not here. But we went to this local one and wound up my son wound up getting a new stick. And so I went to pay, and they had these little terminals, and I put my – I asked the guy. I said, does it support Apple Pay? He's like, I don't think so. And, of course, by that point, I had already put my phone, you know, close enough to the terminal, and it asked me for my thumbprint. So I gave it my thumbprint, and pretty much everything stopped at that point. They had to completely undo the transaction, come back around. So the terminal supports NFC payments, but – the system on their end that connects to it, despite the fact that this store is only like 4 months old, was not built to take that data and work with it, nor was it built to take the chip data, which the terminal also would have supported. So it was interesting that it speaks to the fact that even me, right, doing what we do here constantly, this stuff is top of mind. I often forget to use it because of encounters like this.
You forget to use Apple Pay?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's so much easier to just give them my credit card. It's right there. I still use a wallet case for my iPhone, so I have all my cards and my license, or two of my cards and my license right there. So it's always right there, and that way I don't have to think about taking something else with me out of the house.
100% of my Apple Pay payments are done through my watch.
I had my watch on too. Yeah. I find the watch for Apple Pay to be a little clunky depending on the location.
Really?
Well, depending on the, and I know we're getting off on a tangent, Jeff, but depending on the location of the terminal, it's this, you know, I now need to like put my wrist, you know, face down or top down on this thing.
I love it. And I make sure the person behind me in line is watching.
Yeah. It's just so easier to put my phone there. It's easier to put my phone there.
Yeah, well, my phone's buried in my carry bag.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't. I just put it in my pocket. So it's. I don't know. I find the phone easier to use than the watch. But I mean, I get it. If your phone's buried, then the watch is easier. But you have to contort your wrist, and it's like, I don't know.
Oh, poor Dave.
Hey, you know, I'm still healing from my broken wrist over Labor Day weekend. John, give me a break.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. You get a pass.
The contortion, John. The contortion thing for you isn't a big deal, but. I have found that occasionally when I know I can use Apple Pay and my watch is on my wrist, I would still prefer to pull out my iPhone because I don't have to do any weird twisting. And now that winter is here, I don't have to pull my coat and my sweater out of the way and try and keep that stuff away from.
The phone is so mundane, you know, when the cashier is watching. When the cashier is watching and the person behind me in the line is watching, I reach out my hand and I twist my wrist and I touch it to the terminal almost.
So this is your play.
Everybody goes, ooh, I've seen that on TV, but I've never seen it in person. Oh, that's so cool.
Okay, so it's the novelty factor. Yeah, no, we all do that, right? I mean, it's part of living on the bleeding edge. I get it. Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. Huh. Yeah.
And okay, so I was fine with us going down this rabbit hole because to me it kind of illustrates the problem with mobile payments in general, which is that there's no consistency. We don't know where we can use a specific system, and then there are issues with the hardware. And Dave, the problem you saw where their whole system borked on you when you tried to do something. I had that in PetSmart where they didn't know if they could take Apple Pay, so we tried it. Not only did it take down the credit card reader, it took down the Windows-based POS system that they were using, and they had to completely reboot everything.
So POS is the right acronym to use.
It totally is.
Point of sale, not the other one.
Oh, well, no, I'm pretty sure the other one.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure it's the other one, yeah. And it was an ordeal, and then we found out no, you can't use the chip, and so finally I swiped the card, and it was ridiculous, and expecting people to go through all of these contortions, gyrations, whatever you want to call it, to make a payment using a phone is not conducive to actually getting people to use it, and I think that Walmart's efforts to come up with their own system are not going to pan out because people have to download an app, they have to set everything up in it, and then they have to launch the app, select the payment thing, turn on the camera, scan a thing on the screen, and then complete their transaction.
You see, that works for Starbucks. And the reason it'll work for Starbucks is because for many people, it's a place they visit every single day. So the initial set, the pain and time investment to do the initial setup, it pays off every single day and pays off before you've had your coffee, right? So this works. But for Walmart, I mean, unless you're someone who shops there every day or even, you know, multiple times a week, this probably doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. And to look at the Starbucks side of it, Starbucks does it the opposite direction, meaning when you actually complete your transaction, you're not using the camera on your phone to scan a code. You have a code that just shows up on your iPhone, and they scan that. And with geolocation, you can have it so that barcode is just there when you walk into Starbucks. So you don't need to launch an app. It's sitting there in the Apple Wallet. And it becomes much easier to use because the barrier to entry is much lower.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a backlash. I think we're going to see people going, you know, I'm confused. I don't know how to use my phone. For those people who are experts on Android Pay and Apple Pay, you know, that those few percentage, that's fine. But I think a lot of people are going to go, you know, do you take my magnetic strip on my regular credit card? And the merchant says, oh, yeah, sure, we still take that.
Well, then you also have the resistance to change. And the number of people that I encounter that have iPhones that say, I didn't set up Apple Pay because I don't trust it.
Yeah, there's that too.
And they're misconception is that swiping their card through a card reader is more secure.
Yeah, and the possible security problems of other systems will have a backlash effect on Apple Pay, which is, we know, is pretty secure. But when people start hearing about other inventive systems that maybe don't cut the mustard, then people will get a bad feeling about Apple Pay as well and worry about it.
Yeah.
Yes. And there you go. I think that Walmart Pay is not going to succeed. So
it's going to drag currency down with it.
I don't think so. I think currency is going to go down all on its own.
Whatever. Either way, it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And but hey, what isn't gone is our sponsor, and that's Drobo. And Drobo, they make the easy to use RAID systems, so like hard drive boxes that you plug into your computer or your network, and you get multiple drives in them. And the setup is pretty easy. You plug everything in. There's an app you download from them so that you can just manage things, and it just works. And you can hot swap drives, so if one fails, you just pop another one in without shutting anything down. You don't have to fill every bay unless you want to. So you can start off with a couple hard drives and add more later for more storage. And it's just really, really simple to use. They have three models that they want to give you a discount on. And that's the Drobo Mini, which it's a cool model because you can load hard drives in and then it becomes a portable RAID, basically. And then they have the Drobo 4-bay, which holds four drives and just plugs right into your computer. And then they have the Drobo 5N, which goes on your network. And your network just becomes the conduit to get at all the files that you're storing there, which can include audio and video and documents and whatever you want. And then you can add apps to the Drobo 5N. So that means that you can enhance its functionality. And that the app that I think is the coolest to add is Plex, because now you turn your Drobo into a home media server that you can access from anywhere. And you can even put the Plex app on your fourth generation Apple TV and access all of your content from there too. So it's really cool. All right, so what you need to do, and this is important, you need to go to drobostore.com, and that's drobostore.com. And then pick out a Drobo Mini, a Drobo 4-bay, or a Drobo 5N, and use the discount code TMO100 and get $100 off any of those strobos. And that's a fantastic deal. And $100, you know, if you're hanging out at Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or any of these other places where we're lamenting the payment systems we use, well, there you go. That's $100 you can spend at those places. So go check it out. Drobostore.com. Use a discount code TMO100 and pick yourself up a Drobo today. And thank you, Drobo, for being our sponsor this week. All right. The other thing that I wanted to talk about today, we talked some yesterday about Apple's rumored streaming television service that would be something that you could use in lieu of having a cable TV subscription. And we talked about how it has apparently just kind of fallen apart and Apple's not going to pursue it. John, you wrote an interesting editorial yesterday where you talk about the reasons why you think this service ended up falling apart before it ever happened.
Right. We don't know the intimate details of those discussions and all of what the lawyers said and the business discussions, but it's pretty easy to hypothesize about what went on based on what we know about the finances of the cable TV industry and satellite. To make a long story short, there's a business model here. You've got payments made to the content providers. You pass those payments in a carriage fee that the cable and satellite companies incur to run their business, and all that's passed on to the customer. And that model has been working pretty well. And the carriers want to show growth, so you know they raise their rates every year. The content providers occasionally raise their rates to show growth, and then that causes a conflict between the carrier and the content provider occasionally, but generally they depend on each other. And that business model has worked fairly well for years, but now we're starting to see a splintering. And internet television, Apple comes along and says, well, we're going to charge people $30 or $35 a month for just the channels they want to watch. And all of a sudden, the specter of being able to have all these other minor channels carried along and supported, having a large cable bill, the holy grail of over $100 for your cable or satellite bill and rising, all that's threatened. So instead of having, you know, 30 million people paying $100 a month, you got all these millions of people moving over to Apple and paying $30 a month, and Apple's willing to take less in terms of absolute dollars, and it hurts the carriers, and it creates a sort of a financial problem for the industry, and these secondary channels that get carried along aren't financed so well anymore, and it just is a problem. And so I'm pretty sure that when you look at the business math and you look at the associated fear of Apple and its ability to build great relationships with customers, the discussion probably went something like this. You know, well, you can have our service, you can carry our content as long as our revenue goes up and you don't threaten our business partners, and we get to control the relationship with the viewer, and so here's our terms. And that led to an impasse. And that's probably why we heard rumors about how the content providers wanted to include unskippable ads and why they wanted to charge Apple more for selected high-value content channels than they charge the traditional carriers to make up for that loss of revenue. And because Apple was going to bat for the customer, trying to make things easy and no onerous cancellation, $300 cancellation fees and contracts and channels that you don't want to really pay for. Yeah. There was a friction about how to, you know, how Apple could put the customer first and have a winning business proposition. And that's probably why things broke down.
It's, I can't help but be reminded of our conversation that we had on this very show just a couple of days ago, talking about the radical changes to the music industry, specifically the recorded music and sales industry that have evolved because in part of you know, digital distribution and all of that. And it's obvious to me that at some level, the TV studios, I mean, they're embracing it at one level, right? You know, you've got the HBOs of the world that are selling off or selling their content direct to the customer. And I think that's a great idea. Apple looking to aggregate that. Well, we've seen aggregation before. And, you know, some of that works and some of it doesn't. And it hasn't been, aggregation hasn't been good for the customer. It's been very one-sided for the content providers, the content deliverers, I will say. So it's very interesting to see this happening.
I think in the future, Dave, it's going to change. It's going to change in the future when the cable industry goes away from coax and the satellite companies are gone and everything's delivered over the internet. Then there's an opportunity for Apple to just be one of the players. And then at that point, it'll be Apple will just throw in with the rest and there'll be incremental revenue for the industry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But right now, the content providers have to be careful about how quickly the satellite and cable industry is damaged and disrupted due to the technologies that Apple's proposing.
Yeah.
So basically what it comes down to is the content providers don't want to rock the boat. They like the system the way it is.
Well, the system's very good for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here comes Apple, the unruly upstart, that wants to shake up the system, and they're being very resistant to that.
Yeah, there would be a net loss. I mean, imagine, you know, Comcast has 30 million customers paying $100 a month for their TV, and all of a sudden, 3 million of those customers depart and go over to Apple and pay a lot less for just what they want to watch. That would be very bad news for Comcast trying to show growth. So the carriers are probably putting pressure, I think, on the content providers. Say, look, you know, if you want us to be a stable place for your content, you got to help us as a partner, you know, be successful so that we can carry your content. We can all make money. So let's work together on this.
And thanks to that, or to the networks and content providers' mentality, Apple basically just had to give up on trying to bring together their system. So for now, no streaming TV service from Apple. And my guess is that means no streaming TV service from Apple for a long time.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Hey, we're out of time. So we have to wrap up. But I wish we could go longer because I'm really enjoying hanging out with you guys. But that said, Dave, it's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, this has been fun. Good stuff. Yeah.
Yep, lots of fun. John, it's also always fun to have you here.
You're welcome, and with pleasure.
And Drobo, thank you for being our sponsor today. Go hit their website, drobostore.com, and use the discount code TMO100 and pick yourself up an awesome Drobo Mini, Drobo 4-Bay, or Drobo 5N for $100 off. That's a really sweet deal. Listeners, thank you for being here again. We will see everyone tomorrow.